Psalms 96. I guess I still had last Sunday's scripture on mine, 119, but Psalms 96. There are a couple of passages that we want to use, in particular, one for the luncheon pad, if you will, for our time together in the study this morning. In this particular Psalms 96, that is, David, who is the writer, calls upon his fellow Israelites to join him in worship to the Almighty God. In it, he talks about singing, and he talks about declaring God's glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people, verses 1 and 2. And in verse number 4, he says, "For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. All the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens." So our God, as we worship him, is to be lifted high in honor and in praise. A part of our worship consists of giving our offering unto him. Listen again to the words of verses 8 and 9 that were read by Brother Clyde this morning. The psalmist says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." Today, I will begin a series of lessons on giving. These lessons hopefully will remind us and instruct us of the importance of giving of our means, that is, our financial means, to God as we worship him. And the very first thing that I want to talk about is attitudes. Attitudes of giving. Lord's willing, now this entire month will be devoted to giving. And I hope we all can be here, be God's will. But when we talk about attitude, without the proper attitude, our worship will be in vain. Even though we may do things in accordance with truth. I recall what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verses 19 through 24, in his conversation with the lady who had come to the well, the Samaritan woman. The Bible says there that she perceived that he was a prophet. And then she began to talk to him and say, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Her conversation continues in verse number 21. Jesus said unto her, "Believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem, nor yet Jerusalem, worship when..." Let me go back again. "Believe me, the hour cometh," he says, "when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. And the conversation continues. He says, ye worship what you know not. We worship what we know. For salvation, he says, is of the Jews. And then he continues, he says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. That's attitude. That's having the heart right. That's having the right motivation, if you will. In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. In verse 24, we're so familiar with, I'm sure. The Bible says, God is what? A spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit, the proper attitude, and in truth. God joins attitude with truth. We can worship, as I've already said, to some degree, according to truth, doing things according to truth. But if the attitude is not coupled with doing those things, then it makes the entire worship vain. Our attitudes must be right. Giving is a part of our worship. Singing, of course, is a part of our worship. Communing is a part of our worship. Teaching or preaching is a part of our worship. Praying is a part of our worship. We all are familiar, I'm sure, with the, as we call them, the five items or the five acts of worship. But they are more than just an act. We don't just come to act them out, but we come to do them, if you will, in the proper spirit or the proper attitude. And unless they are coupled with the proper attitude, then our worship goes down in vain. It's a shame, or it would be a shame, for us to go through all of the motions. And yet in the end, our Lord would say, depart from me. So as we talk about giving these next few weeks, if it be God's will, I want us to realize that giving is just as important as any other of the items or acts of worship. You know, some people wouldn't miss the communion for nothing. But then there are some people who won't give. And even people who would won't take the communion, there may be some that would take it with the wrong attitude. And that's why the brethren, as they preside, encourage us to have the right attitude. So it's all about attitude. It's all about our heart. Because that's what God is looking at. He is looking at the heart. You and I, we see things outwardly, but God sees the heart. And God knows whether the heart is right or not. So whether we give little or whether we give much, if the attitude is not right, God doesn't accept it. Now, can it be used? Yes, it can be used and will be used. But we won't obtain any spiritual benefit of it ourselves. So our attitude must be proper. Our attitude must be right. So when David invited his fellow Jews to come to the courts, that is, come to the temples, and to worship God and to give an offering, while he didn't say it in that passage, the implication is, as we study from God's word in other scriptures, and particularly in John chapter 4, his implication is that when you come to the courts and worship God, then let's come there with the right attitude. Because again, we can come there and go through the motions, but God will not accept it. So our attitudes need to be right. There are some bad attitudes when it comes to giving. And there are some good attitudes when it comes to giving. And I want to talk about those two this morning. I want to talk about the bad first, and then I'll talk about the good. When we look at Scripture, we can see some bad attitudes when it comes to our material possessions, and particularly when it comes to giving to our God. We perhaps would remember the rich young ruler. In Mark chapter 10, the Bible talks about this man, and Luke chapter 8 defines him as being very rich. That's how he gets the title, the rich young ruler. But in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse number 17, the Bible says this, and when he was going forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, so far in this passage, we see some good attitudes showing up. Number one, he comes running. That's a good attitude, to come, to be in a hurry to get to the Lord. And then he honors the Lord, or he respects the Lord, if you will, when he kneels to him. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. Then he continues, and he asks in this conversation, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And the scripture goes on, and Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God, or but the Father." And then the passage continues on, "Thou knowest the commandments," and he recites the commandments to him. And then the next verse says in verse number 20, "And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth." He's doing good. And the reason why I know he's doing good in that section is because Jesus doesn't rebuke him. The next passage, the Bible says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest," which is to say, you're doing all right. You haven't defrauded anybody. You haven't committed adultery. You haven't committed murder. You have kept the commandments. Jesus didn't rebuke him. If he had not done these things, Jesus would have called him on the carpet. But Jesus says, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." But then look at this bad attitude coming up here in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And he was sad at that saying, and he did what? Went away grieved, for he had great possessions." The reason why he couldn't sell what he had and give to the poor is because he had a bad attitude. He didn't have the proper attitude toward his possessions, toward his riches. If he had had the right attitude toward those possessions, he would have gladly done what Jesus said. But because he was wrapped up in what he had, he couldn't part with what he had and go and sell and give to the poor. Therefore, he went away grieved or sorrowful, the Bible said. Something was wrong with his attitude. Amen. So even though he had done all these other things by the numbers, his attitude about his possessions was all wrong. No doubt, when Jesus says, "Keep the commandments," no doubt, and he didn't get an immediate rebuke from Jesus, no doubt he thought he was at heaven's door. "I'm ready to walk in. If you'd call me now from labor to reward, I'm ready to walk in." But he didn't realize that his attitude toward his material possessions was a great hindrance to him. And our money can be a great hindrance to us unless we have the proper attitude, unless we're willing to use it as God would desire for us to use it. You see, Jesus knew his heart. He knew something was wrong with his heart. Shouldn't we be concerned about the poor? That's one of the missions of the church. Benevolence. Edification, yes. Evangelism, yes. But also benevolence, being concerned about the poor. When Paul and Barnabas were separated to go to the Gentiles in Galatians chapter 2, down about verse number 9 and 10 there, Paul said that when they separated them to go to the Gentiles, that they said this to them, only remember the poor. The poor has always been in God's plan to be remembered. Even in Old Testament time and in New Testament time, the poor is to be remembered.
Yes.
We have a duty, we have a responsibility to give so that the poor can be helped, so that the needy can be helped. But if we have the wrong attitude toward our money, we're not going to give it the way that we should so that the poor can be helped. The young ruler turned and walked away. How tragic it is, brothers and sisters, this morning, to lose one's soul because of the wrong attitude toward money. A great man, morally speaking, but spiritually he was bankrupt because his attitude was wrong. Let us always maintain the proper attitude toward our finances. Give God what is due him so that God's work can be carried on. After all, everything that we have came from God. The Bible says in Psalm 24 and verse 1 that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Psalms 50 verses 10 through 12, he says over there again, the earth is mine, the gold and the silver is mine, the beast and the cattle on 1,000 hills, they are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. Haggai 2 and verse 8, he said, the silver and the gold, they are mine. Everything belongs to God. We're just stewards of it. We can't become selfish with it and hoard it and not be willing to share with others. That was the problem with the rich young ruler. He was not willing to share with others. He had a bad attitude, and therefore he would never be able to give properly. So again, as long as we have the bad or the wrong attitude, we'll never be able to give properly. No wonder the Lord says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, down about verse number 9, now that we ought not to give grudgingly, but we ought to be a cheerful giver. It's talking about attitude. We can give $1,000, but if we're giving it grudgingly, that's the wrong attitude. Can it be used? Yes. Will it be used? Yes. But we won't get any spiritual benefit from it. And we can lose our soul, again, going by the numbers, but not having the right attitude. Attitude is so important, brothers and sisters. So when we give, make sure that we have the right attitude. One other person I want to talk about who had, two other people, should I say, they're all in the one same point when I talk about a bad attitude, a wrong attitude. You remember Ananias and Sapphira?
Yeah.
The Bible talks about them having a portion of land, and they sold that portion of land, but they kept that part of it. And they brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But in actuality, what they did, they said that we're bringing everything that we got for the land. But the Bible says they lied. Why did they do that? Because they had a bad attitude. They were lying about what they were giving to God. Now, we don't have to verbally say that we're not giving to God like we ought to. But all we need to do is make the impression, if you will, that I'm giving to God like I ought to, knowing all the time that we're not. We're actually telling a lie. And we're not lying to men, the Bible says. The Bible says they didn't lie to men, but they lied to God. They had a bad attitude. Why did they do it? I don't know specifically why they did it, but you know, the chapter just before that, the Bible talks about them, that there were many of the people who had believed there, and many of them had houses and land and sold their possessions and laid them at the apostles' feet so that distribution could be made to every person as it had need. And then it talks about Barnabas, who the Bible calls a good man, had a possession of land and sold it and laid it at the apostles' feet. It may have been that they wanted to be impressive like them, but they wanted to shortchange, if you will. But they still wanted to be looked upon, perhaps like them. We don't have to try to impress anybody with our giving. Just give as we have been prospered. Give as we purpose in our own hearts, and God will be pleased. Sometimes, if you're not careful, we may look around and see somebody else has a collection tray, has passed the person next to us. Maybe they put in a big bill, and we are going to put in maybe a smaller bill. It still may be as we have prospered and as we have purpose, but because we want to be impressive, then we may just go back and put in a larger bill because I want to be impressive. But God doesn't want us to impress nobody. God wants us to impress Him, but to impress Him, we do it like He says. So they had the wrong attitude toward their possessions, and that's why God killed them for it. Now, God is not killing us today, but in the judgment, our souls can be lost if we are doing things just to be impressive, if we are doing things not out of sincerity. See, they weren't sincere. A good while back, remember, we talked about serving the Lord in sincerity and in truth. We got to be genuine about this thing. We got to be for real about this thing. So as we say many times, they lied and they died. We don't want to lie. And certainly we don't want to die spiritually. We need to give with the right attitude. Give with the right heart. So that God will accept our giving. So we've seen two with bad attitudes. Let's look at some with good attitudes now. In Exodus chapter 36, going back to Old Testament time, going back, if you will, to the time that David lived under. Again, as he invited his fellow Jews to come to the courts and to worship and to bring an offering. The Bible talks about them back in Exodus chapter 36, when they were given offerings, if you will, for the tabernacle or for the sanctuary. In Exodus chapter 36, beginning at verse number 3, the Bible says this: "And they received of Moses all the offering." That is, the Levites, they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And the Bible continues to say, "And they brought unto him free offerings every morning." The scripture continues to read and says, "And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made." And the Bible continues to say, "And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make." Verses 6 and 7 says this: "And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary, so the people were restrained from bringing." Do you think that would ever happen in our day and time when it comes to giving? It probably won't. These people brought so much, offered so much, gave so much, until it was too much. Think of what if people had that attitude today in our offerings and our giving to the Lord. Think of all of the things that we could be doing for the Lord. Think of how much edification that we could be doing. Think of how much evangelism we could be doing. Think of how much good works and benevolence we could be doing if people had the same attitude that they had when they were preparing the sanctuary. Moses had to tell them, "You're bringing too much." Elders, would y'all like to have that responsibility? Amen. to tell us one day you're bringing too much? Well, it probably won't happen, and it probably couldn't happen even if we brought it like that, because we still got a command in the New Testament that we got to do it every week. But you see the point that I'm making. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people were so generous in their spirits and in their attitudes and in their giving,
yes,
that we would have more than enough to do what the Lord has for us to do? But most of the time, you know, we got to try to figure out what can we cut out so that we'll still have enough to make sure all of the essentials are done. We got to cut back in this area, cut back in that area. We would have that problem if folks would just give with the right attitude. Why did they do that? They did it because they had the right attitude. Now, if we back up one chapter, we'll see that attitude that I'm talking about in Exodus chapter 35 and verses 20 and 21. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, everyone whom his spirit made what? Willing." That's attitude. Everyone who had a willing heart, everyone who had the proper attitude, their hearts were stirred up, and the Bible says, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle. They had the proper spirit. They had their proper attitude. They wanted to be involved in this work. And so their attitudes, their spirits, their hearts then just enabled them, if you will, to bring and to give so much that Moses had to stop them from bringing. What a beautiful attitude to have in the work of the Lord. And you know, this is what makes giving cheerful when we have the proper spirit. This is what makes us happy to give when we have the proper spirit. All the elders, all the preachers, they're talking about raising money for this. They're talking about all they talk about is money, money, money. Well, we don't just talk about money, money, money here. But you know, sometimes people will have that attitude that all they're talking about is money, money, money. If we had the right attitude, it would never be how little can I give. It would be how much can I give. Because we can't ever outgive God. God will make sure that if we try to outgive him, and I guess that's the wrong attitude anyway, to try to outgive him because we can't do it. But if we have the right attitude and given all that we have, the next person I'm going to talk about did that very thing. But when we do that, God will make sure that we won't go lacking. It's going to come back. We're not going to lose. God is going to make sure that it's going to come back to us. So these people in Old Testament times that lived during the time of David, that he invited to come into the courts of God and to offer an offering or to give an offering, when it came to this dealing with the furnishing of the tabernacle and the sanctuary, they had some willing hearts, they had some good spirits, they had the proper attitude, and therefore they could give, and God was pleased with their giving. But then when we come to the New Testament, you remember the lady, the widow, who gave everything she had. Look at what the Bible says in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. The Bible says this: "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." And the next passage says this: "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing." And the next passage says this: "And he called unto his disciples and said unto her, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow has cast in what? More than all they which have cast into the treasury." This poor widow gave all her living, the Bible says. Cast it all into the treasury. She gave both liberally and sacrificially. Now that's the proper attitude. That we need to give liberally, and I'm going to be talking about this more in details in the upcoming lessons. She gave liberally because she gave more, and she gave sacrificially because she gave all. She was a liberal giver, and she was a sacrificial giver. sacrificial giver. Though she was poor, she was willing to give what she had. If she could do that, what about those who have more? Again, it's all about attitude. And it was no doubt that even though she gave all she had, as I've already said, God made sure that she was going to get it back. Look at what some scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 1. The wise man Solomon, the preacher, the ecclesiastical preacher there, said, Solomon says, cast thy bread upon the water, and in many days it shall return. That's talking about, if you will, giving, doing our good deeds. Put it out there. It's going to come back. Again, you can't be God. We can't be God-given. He's going to return it back to us. Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus says here, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure, the Bible says, that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. But you know what it takes to do that? Faith. Trust in God. That's why this widow was able to do what she did, because she had faith and trust in God. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. It's coming back. And not only is it coming back, but you're going to get a lot. When you give a lot with the right attitude, you're going to get it back. And certainly if you don't get it back in this life, you'll get it back in the life that is to come. And that's the real important thing. But our attitudes got to be right. No wonder Paul made a statement that Jesus made that nobody else recorded. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, Paul says, remember the words of our Lord when he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We can't lose when we give the way God requires of us to give. This poor widow gave liberally and sacrificially. In preparing this lesson, I ran across a little quote that said this. It says, one preacher said this: when I look at the well-dressed congregation, I ask, where are the poor? But then when I look at the collection plate, I ask, where are the rich? Do you see the picture? Everybody, he says, look affluently because they're dressed so nice. But when the giving has transpired, then they look like paupers, because I'm still wondering where the rich are. I saw the rich out there, he says. But when the money got up here, and the preacher wasn't holding on to the money, I'm sure, but he's just making a comment, making a statement, making a point, that I'm wondering where the rich are. The rich has vanished. I want to say to us this morning, brothers and sisters, that as we give, make sure that our hearts are right. That we're giving for the right reason. That we're giving because we love the Lord, because we love to do what the Lord says. And that we are not that we do not feel compelled to do this. But we're doing it out of a heart of love. So again, when David invited his fellow Jews, fellow Israelites, to come to the courts, he says, give unto the Lord. O ye kindreds of people, verse number 7. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all ye earth. It's all about attitudes. How's your attitude toward giving? Is it like the rich young ruler? Is it like Ananias and Sapphira? Or is it like the poor widow? Is it like those who gave too much? I hope that we will strive to have the attitude of the widow. Strive to have the attitude of those people that gave too much. Again, because we can't outgive God. God will bless us when we give as He has directed for us to give. Again, worship to be acceptable to God. The attitude got to be combined with the truth. So when we sing, God says sing, but we got to have the right attitude when we do that. When we pray, God say pray. Well, we got to have the right attitude when we do that. When we commune, God say do that. But we got to do it with the right attitude. When we give, God say give. But we got to do it with the right attitude. When I preach and when I teach and when we study from God's word, God say do that. But we got to do it. And I got to do it with the right attitude. It's all about attitude. And until we can get our attitudes right, then we'll never be able to do it like God say do it. And if we're not doing it the way God say do it, we're doing it in vain. And our souls are on their way to hell. We don't want to go to hell. We don't want to be lost. So let's make sure that our attitudes are right when it comes to giving. Let's give like God say give. If you're here this morning talking about giving, have you given your life to Christ? If you're not a member of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you this morning to give your life to Christ. Because you'll never be able to give unless you first give yourself to Him. How do you give your life to Christ? You hear and believe the gospel. You repent of your past sin. You confess your faith in Jesus Christ. And you go down into a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to His church. Then you continue to live faithfully. And you can't live faithfully unless you do it with the right attitude. It's all about attitude. All about what's in our heart. Live faithfully unto death. Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. So if you need to come to the Lord this morning, why not come? You're already a member of the body of Christ, but you realize that you're not doing the will of God the way that it should be done. You're not giving with the right attitude. If there's something else that is amiss or that's wrong in your life, correct that so that you can get back into the good graces of God and continue on walking down through this life with the right attitude. So God will be pleased with you. If you're here this morning, you just desire prayers. Whatever the reason is, you may just desire prayers. Then request prayers if that's what you do to us. So whatever your need is, we beg you, plead with you to come to the Lord. And even when you come to the Lord, if you will, do that with the right attitude. Don't